Chuck Norris's. Hi-ya! Chuck Norris, you know the, what's that movie with Bruce Lee, Enter the Dragon, where he got his debut? I have never liked Chuck Norris. I know, he's like the worst actor on the face of the earth. And, you know, we record these sermons. Someone's going to send this to him, probably, and say, you know, that pastor said you're... But he's... Have you ever seen him? I mean, there was this thing where... I don't remember the name of the movie, but somebody had, like, killed his son. And so he said, whoever's done this to my son is as good as dead. And I just really believed him, I tell you. But he was good at karate, right? I mean, it's fun to watch Chuck Norris beat up on everybody. As a matter of fact, there's Chuck Norris jokes. Did you know that? There's whole internet sites about Chuck Norris and how powerful and strong Chuck Norris is. Well, I thought Chuck Norris had gone into oblivion until the last presidential election when he endorsed Mike Huckabee. And somehow I started getting emails from Chuck Norris, okay? Don't ask me how this happened because I have absolutely no idea. So I got an email from Chuck Norris this last week. As a matter of fact, I think it was on Thursday. 12/26/08. What day is that? Friday. Yeah, I got an email from Chuck, you know, to me, because he likes me. But I don't like him. No, he's not a bad guy. I mean, he's just Chuck Norris. What can I say? Anyway, this is what Chuck Norris wrote in the email. He said, "'Tis the season to be Jesus-stealing. Away in a manger, no Christ for the bed. It has become a new Christmas fetish, neutering nativity scenes by jacking Jesus." And by jacking, he means hijacking Jesus. "Just over the past week, dozens of mini messiahs have been nabbed from nativities across the country, residences, churches, and even civic displays in New York, Michigan, Nebraska, Indiana, Florida, Tennessee, Missouri, Illinois, and Texas have been exploited by these Christmas Scrooges. And such criminal acts are not restricted to America, as a baby Jesus was smashed and then stolen at the 12th century St. John's Church in Cardiff, Wales, and a beer was blasphemously left in its pale place. To prevent further sacred thefts," this is interesting, "thousands of churches and private residences are turning to technology to help them save Jesus. But when GPS devices have to be planted in the skulls of the Savior and security cameras have to guard the path of the three wise men, can't we see that this society is a bit off-center? Skeptics might mock these defacements as negligible crimes, but stealing the soul of nativities is one more dismal sign of a culture gone awry. What type of world do we live in when hoodlums, young and old, commit sacrilege for entertainment, when people go and hijack Jesus, when people don't see who it is lying in the manger and the power that he brings with them? People who see Jesus as just merely a figurine to be brought out at Christmas time and to show everybody the world, and then he's put back away in the box, not to be brought back again until the next Christmas. But I don't think that Simeon would have hijacked Jesus. We have this great story this morning in our gospel lesson. You'll remember last Christmas Eve, we read Luke 2, the Christmas story. And Mother Jesus, Mary, ponders these things in her heart. And then we start again right into Luke chapter 2, verse 21, which is earlier in Scripture, back here. Chapter 2, verse 21, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise Jesus, who was named Jesus, which was the name that the angel had given him before he had been conceived. But then, when the time of purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, this is verse 22, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So this is 40 days after Jesus is born. They're in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph grab their things. It's about 8 miles to Jerusalem. And they go to Jerusalem and they dedicate Jesus in the temple. He's already been circumcised. He's already been named. This is a dedication. And they sacrifice two doves. And this is what they're doing. But when they get there, they meet a guy. They meet Simeon. And Simeon is just a fascinating character. And I want to point out three characteristics of Simeon this morning. See if you can pick up what these are. Now, we read in verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. So the first thing we find out about Simeon is that he's a righteous and devout man. And we learn that he's an older man. And he has been in Jerusalem, and he's righteous, and he's devout. And he's one of these guys that has lived his whole life as a righteous and devout man. And you can tell because he just exudes that righteousness. And he's just a man named Simeon. He's not a priest or anything like that. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So the second thing, besides being righteous and devout, is that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, what in the world is the consolation of Israel? I have no idea. No, I do. I have no idea. Just seeing if you're awake out there. See if I know the answer. No. Okay. All right. Consolation of Israel is this. There were people living in Jerusalem that had read the Old Testament prophecies, that had read Scripture, and they were absolutely convinced that God would come again and bring his Messiah. And they thought it was happening very soon. And so they were praying that God would bring about the Messiah. They were firmly convinced that after reading Scripture, after studying Scripture, that God was going to come into Jerusalem and the Messiah was going to come. So that's the second thing. The first thing is that he's righteous and devout. The second one is that he studies Scripture and he understands and believes the promises of God and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required. So it's not just that he was a righteous and devout man. It's not just that he studied Scriptures and believed that God was going to send the Messiah. But he did something about it. He went to the temple court to wait for the Messiah. He was not about to let Jesus be hijacked. He was going to go to the temple court and make sure that he was there when Jesus arrived. And so he goes into the temple court and he waits. And that's where he meets Mary and Joseph. Now, folks, in today's world, there are a lot of people that are hijacking Jesus. They like Jesus as kind of a plastic figurine that you bring out in the nativity scene, or maybe as some great guru of history. They like that Jesus. As a matter of fact, a couple years ago, believe it or not, all of Hollywood was sporting this white t-shirt with a picture of Jesus that said, Jesus is my homeboy. That was the number one shirt that was selling in Hollywood. I mean, they love Jesus. But they love Jesus as just a little plastic figurine that comes out of nativity. And there are a lot of people in Hollywood that wear crosses. And they say, wow, this is great. You know, I've got this beautiful piece of artwork from ancient history. And they see Jesus or they see Christianity as kind of this crosswork, but they never look behind the cross. And they never look behind the plastic figurine to see who really is lying in the manger. They never look past anything but a fashion statement to say who really is this Jesus. But it doesn't just happen with Hollywood people. Sometimes it happens with Christians too. Sometimes our Jesus gets hijacked. Sometimes we just pull Jesus out when it's convenient. We display him like a plastic figurine at nativity time, and then we put him away. Because we don't live our lives as righteousness and devotion. We don't say, God, please fill my life and let me be a righteous and devoted person towards you. And so our Jesus is hijacked from us. Some of us never search the Scriptures and pray daily, God, what is it that you want me to do in my life? And so Jesus is hijacked. And some of us never put it into practice. We read about it, we study about it, but we never, ever put it to practice. And so Jesus is hijacked from us. And see, that's what Satan wants to do to you. He wants to hijack that Jesus from you. But the answer is in Simeon. The answer is what Simeon did in his life, this wonderfully mature man. And you know these people. I'm sure you've seen them. People who are mature, they live a life of devotion and righteousness. They study Scripture. They pray for God's guidance in their life. And then they're active in doing that sort of thing. There's people in this congregation that way. In every congregation, I've met people like that. Solid individuals like Simeon. And Simeon didn't just stop. He went to the temple to find the baby Jesus. The clue to Simeon actually is back in Luke chapter 2, verse 27, where it says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. It wasn't that just Simeon had decided that he was going to go to the temple courts. He was moved by God's Holy Spirit to go into the temple court. And there he waits to make sure that Jesus wouldn't be hijacked from him. And Jesus shows up with Mary. It doesn't say how in the world they connected. We don't know if Simeon said, that's them, or if he started asking everybody that came into the temple. But eventually he connected with Jesus and he says, God has promised to me that I won't die until I see the Messiah. And Mary and Joseph were able then to share their story. Well, let me tell you, an angel appeared to him and an angel appeared to me, and then angels appeared to the shepherd, and this is the Messiah. And when Simeon saw the Messiah, what did he do? He absolutely rejoiced. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have promised, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. Simeon says, that's it. I've arrived. God made a promise, and God's delivered on his promise. And now, no matter what else happens in life, I now can depart in peace because I've done it. I've seen the Savior, the one that God promised. How many times has this happened in your life where you say, man, I'm so excited that that happened. I've done it. I've arrived. I was thinking this week, trying to figure out what is similar to this, and I was thinking of John Elway getting that ring from the Super Bowl. It's like, man, I don't care whatever happens now in life, I've got that ring. And I don't know how many cars I sell in Denver. I've got that ring. Or Michael Jordan, who was able to win the NBA championship. Or I was thinking of Brandon Bolgren, who's not here this morning, who won the national championship for all eighth grade football players, you know, in Florida. How exciting that was. Or if you saw your paper a few weeks ago, Cienega's Alicia Parrott left and teammate Lori Slattery celebrate Parrott's winning goal in overtime against South Point, and so they win the championship for the quarterfinal, semifinal action will take place in Tucson on Monday. I mean, when those things happen in your life, it's like, now we've arrived. And Simeon is so excited. He's seen the Messiah. And so now he can depart in peace. He can die in peace knowing that he's seen the Messiah. And the fact is that you and I have seen the Messiah, not just this Christmas when we bring him out and put him in our little nativity sets. No, you and I have seen the Messiah because the Holy Spirit that came to Simeon also lives in you. And that Holy Spirit comes to you in his word. That Holy Spirit comes to you in the waters of baptism. That Holy Spirit comes to you in communion. That Holy Spirit comes to you when you have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And he grabs onto you and he will never let you go. And so even sometimes when we don't always pay attention to Jesus like we should, and we don't see Jesus like we should, he always pays attention to us. As we said in the children's message, he is always faithful to us. This Jesus who comes to us and he never lets us go. Paul put it so well in the book of Romans. Romans 8, 37 and 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor things present nor the future nor the powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And now you can depart in peace. No matter when that time comes, when you will depart this earth, you will depart in peace because you have that peace that passes all understanding. Because Jesus Christ came to this earth and died for you to give you that peace with God. And now you are in that peaceful relationship. And you can sing just like Simeon did. Lord, let your servant depart in peace. I've got the ring. I've got the trophy. I got the Stanley Cup. It's yours because of Jesus Christ. I don't like Chuck Norris acting, but I sure liked his article. He continues on. He said, so here's the hope. These distressing religious crimes probably won't decrease over the years, but no matter how often Christmas thugs try to pilfer nativities, they can't take away the real Jesus of history. Sure, cases have been made, some hope that he never existed, and as a matter of fact, in a recent survey, 70% of Britons doubted the biblical story of the birth of Jesus. But rebutting such uncertainty as naive, he gives a list of four scholars. Simon Gaither Cole from Cambridge, another British scholar whom I know very well, N.T. Wright, Dr. Edwin Yamuchi, and F.F. Bruce, who is a professor at the University of Manchester. All of them have concluded that it is not a fancy, but Jesus is here on historical evidence. But more than that, I want you to listen to what he says. He says, that this is Chuck Norris, the question is not whether Jesus lived, but who he was and is. It's a question we all will answer, consciously or not, especially this Christmas week. It's a question even Jesus asks the people of his day. Who do people say that I am? But this is Chuck Norris. As for me and my house, he is the Son of God and Savior of the world. That's what we celebrate most on Christmas Day. So apparently for Chuck Norris, Jesus hasn't been hijacked. And that's a really cool thing. So now I'm going to have to get all the Chuck Norris movies and watch every single one of them. He's redeemed you, and now you can depart in peace. In his peace, amen. At this point, we will receive the offering.